Pray down. Amen. Good, good. Good to see y'all here this day after a busy week, and I know a lot of you are tired, but I'm thankful the Lord is with us and helps us, and we want to rejoice in Him. Victory over abuse. What a title, huh? We need that in our land, don't we? We need that in our individual lives. We need victory over abuse. And I don't know of any other place that victory can come like it can come in Jesus Christ the Lord. The next slide is the scripture we'll be at today, Acts 4, 23 through 31. If you've been with us a few weeks, we've been going through the book of Acts. If you're here for the first time for today or visiting or what have you, we've been going through, and we're here lately, the last few weeks, we've been focusing on Peter and John. Peter and John got in a little trouble with the leaders because they simply preached Jesus, because they simply said to the cripple, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And you know what? He did. He got up and he not only walked, but he leaped and he ran and he praised God through the temple. And that caught the eyes of the authorities, and they didn't care much for that. They were afraid they were going to lose some of their loyalty or some of their control over people. And they said, you fellas can't be preaching in this name of Jesus now. And they brought him in and to the, quote, Supreme Court, and they had a little hearing. They put him in jail and all that kind of stuff. And now they're being released. And we kind of pick up with the story here this morning in Acts 4, verse 23. And it says this, on the release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Now this is the people, and listen how they worded this. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats. Enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So, guess what? Peter and John are released here. The Bible says if you're a true believer, you will face some sort of persecution. And you say, well, I'm not in India today, and I'm not being threatened today, or what have you. And I understand that. And we asked ourselves, do we really know what persecution is to some degree? But Jesus said that would happen to us. The early church suffered persecution. The early believers did. And today, maybe in your life, you're thinking, well, I mentioned Jesus at work and somebody said they were offended, or they kind of gossiped about me or slandered my name or something like that. You probably say, well, my life's not been threatened. But they might have mocked or had a little violent activity of some kind toward the name of Jesus. But anyway, it's going to happen. It might happen at school, might happen at home. If you take a stand for Jesus at school or whatever place, some form might come. And these believers here didn't pray a prayer like many of us would today. Lord, stop the persecution. Lord, stop what's happening to me here. They didn't say that. They said, give me boldness to speak the name of Jesus. Give me what I need. Give me the courage to have this victory and triumph over the abuse, over being put in jail for nothing, over the threats that the leaders are giving us. Lord, give us courage and give us boldness. So they were released. The power of God was there. They were on a mission. Now let's kind of break this down. The next slide is verse 23 and 24. On the release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. Pardon me. God, you've made it all. You own it all. It's all yours. And they were telling the church, Peter and John, here what happened. Now, I'm of the opinion that the church is already meeting together. They're already been praying for Peter and John here. And they went and told them what had happened. I was in prison. We were in prison and we were tried by the court. And here's what they said to us. Here's the threats and that kind of thing. But they were not puffed up. They were not, oh, by the way there, fellas, guess what? Yeah, I guess you missed me. You know where I've been? I've been up to the Supreme Court. Yeah, I was up there. I was talking to them about Jesus. That wasn't the attitude. Wasn't puffed up about it. They just said, hey, this is what's happening to here. And we got to witness to the highest rulers in the land. We got to witness for Jesus Christ our Lord with the high ups, if you will. They weren't boasting about it. They weren't all puffed up about it. There wasn't no self-glory to it. They just told the story. They shared what had been said and the warnings they were given. If you notice, nowhere in this, as I see this morning, did they say, you know, should we stop preaching this gospel? Should we tone it down a little bit? Never one time, even I don't even think it was a topic of discussion, because they had been commissioned. They had been told, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I want you to go tell this good news of Jesus Christ. So they lifted up their voice with one accord, it says, with one mind and one spirit they were praying. God, you've made it all, the heavens, the earth, you know, everything in them you've made. We rejoice. We're thankful. They were together in one mind, not half-heartedly praying. Not just kind of doing it because we feel like we should or it's a duty. They weren't just thinking about their own affairs. They were thinking about the gospel. One accord, praying. Lord, you've made the heaven and earth and the sea and everything in them. God's power. We're talking to the one who made the universe. We're talking to the one who the masses of all of creation and heaven and earth, we're speaking to him. They realized who they were speaking to, and they were glad that they could. And they come to the conclusion, I believe, that listen, no one person, no one body of people, no one government, no one authority can ever triumph over God himself. You believe that today? We need to act like it, don't we? We need to act like it. We need to act like Peter and John and know that we don't need to be praying, stop the persecution necessarily. We need to say, God, give us the boldness to stand in it in our own land and other lands as well. Here's God here. All the earth and all that's upon the earth. The lower heavens, the atmosphere, God created that. The middle heavens of outer space, God created all of that. And the third heaven where Christ reigns today, God created all that. Now, who can overthrow that government? Well, it's certainly not these guys on this court. It's not anyone. They believe that. They come to that conclusion. Not things visible or invisible. No spiritual power can overthrow the sovereign Lord of the universe. Sovereign Lord, you have. Sovereign Lord, sovereign Master. The Master, my Master, hopefully He's your Master. Sovereign Lord, ruler, alone you are God. There is no one like you. And I have the privilege to talk to you. Well, in verse 25 and 28, you spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against His anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand. Here's all these men, and why do they do these evil things? Why do they plot? Why do they do this? Why do they persecute believers? Why would some try to stamp out Christianity and the good things of God? Why do they do it? Why do they plot in vain? Because we know there is a God. We know the sovereign Lord, a sovereign Master. We know the one who made the universe. Why are they doing this kind of stuff in vain? Well, men will oppose God, always have. And through David, he's saying here, our father David. So just the next slide is Psalm 2, 1 and 2. And the same words, why the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain, the kings of the earth take their stand and rulers gather together against the Lord, against His anointed one. Why's the lost do this? Why are they raging against? Why is it the worldliness imagination? What has all that got to do with it? The kings and the rulers, they stand up against God. He stood up against your holy child Jesus. Why are they plotting in vain? Why did they kill Him? Well, even then, God overruled and raised Him from the dead. So we know that story. Prophecy being fulfilled. David said these things, and then we bring it back up in Acts here and quoting him. Why do evil men still rage today? Why do they do the things that they do? Why do they imagine these empty things? Why do they stand against God? Good news is, all who believe in Jesus will be spared. All who will believe in Him. Now, we get to 29 and 30. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servant to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Here we're on a mission. We're on a mission. We want to fulfill this mission that God is concerned with. They didn't pray, God, just destroy all the evil people. Just destroy all these people who are standing against you. They didn't say, God, help the persecution to stop. Help it just to go away. They said, God, give us boldness. God, give us courage. God, give us what we need. Take the fear away that we can witness to the name of Jesus Christ. And the church is in the same shape today of please take the fear away and help us to stand boldly in the truth of Jesus Christ the Lord. Jesus is the subject. Jesus is the healer. Jesus is the Savior. And help us to proclaim it boldly, with love, with courage. We still have the answer. And it's in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And they prayed that, and I think it's a good example to us. And give us what it takes to endure. Give us what it takes. God, how did he word it here? Stretch out your hand to heal. Stretch out your hand to perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Help us, Lord. Help prove what we're saying here. Prove this gospel. Maybe we need to be praying as a church body. God, show us the miraculous signs. God, show us your healing power. God, help us to show the world who you are. So, when they're talking to the sovereign Lord here, help us to be your witnesses. Help us, Lord, whatever it takes, whatever the mood of society is, whatever the mood of the community is, help us to be bold and courageous and speak your word. Help us to do your will. If we look at Matthew 28, and you know it well, but on the screen, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. There's what we've been told to do. And after fellowship supper, if you'd like to talk about going to India in March of 2020, come and meet us in the conference room. And we'll talk about going to another nation and baptizing them with in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'll be with you always to the very end of the age. We've got our marching orders. We know what to do. So, Lord, would you demonstrate to the people? Would you show some miraculous signs? Would you help us? Would you show this demonstration of your power? God, we're saying that Jesus, your Son, died for the sins of the world. We're saying that God's Son, he came to earth. And like he did, we're proclaiming that. And God, we're saying that he died for the sins of the world. We're saying, God, you raised him from the dead. We're proclaiming this gospel. We're saying he's ascended to the right hand of the Father. We're saying what you've told us to do. We need you to help us prove this message. We need you to help us. And they said, it's in the name of Jesus. You remember what Peter and John's been saying from the cripple back here when we started? The cripple was there wanting money or what have you. Silver and gold we don't have. But what we have, we're going to give it to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And guess what? They expected it to happen. They put their hand down, Peter did. And he had some expectancy that the Lord was going to do what he said. The crippled guy lifted his hand up, got Peter's. That means he was trusting that there was something to what Peter was saying. And then Jesus did the healing. And they said, what's wrong with you leaders here? What do you want to know? If we're called in here because we've shown kindness to this crippled man, you know, what's the problem? And then they reminded them, again, witnessing about the gospel, this Jesus you denied. You killed him, but guess what? God raised him from the dead. You were against him, but he's still alive today. And who healed the cripple? It's in the name of Jesus. And that even made the leaders madder. They were hot now. They were fuming. Don't you preach this name of Jesus anymore. Don't bring His name up. You need to quit this. And then Peter and John said, as you remember, well, us ask God about that, and if I'm supposed to do what God's told me, or am I supposed to do what you're telling me? Whatever seems right, but we believe we're going to listen to God. They said, okay, go ahead and listen to God. We're putting you in jail. It's too late to try you today. We're going to put you in jail. And they did. And then here they're released. And they're saying through this dialogue, through all this conversation, it is in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. It's Jesus who's doing the healing. It's in the name of Jesus that these things are done. Verse 31, last one today. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. After they what? Prayed. What were they doing? They were praying together. They were of one accord. They were of one mind. They were thinking upon spreading the gospel. They were thinking on witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. They were praying, God, give us boldness, give us courage, help us to do the witnessing for Jesus Christ the Lord, that Jesus is the subject. Help us witness for Him. Not praying, God, stop the persecution. But give us this boldness. After they prayed that together, one mind, one heart, focusing on what they were supposed to be focusing on, the church was focused. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. How'd you like this place to be shaken? Boom. Did you hear it? Did you feel it? Well, you're not praying. No. Shaken. The place was shaken. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They had a fresh anointing from God. And they knew it. It had happened. And they said, okay, we've received this boldness that we asked for. I mean, the place is shaken. Something just happened. The presence of God showed up. And wow, we received the boldness we prayed for. Peter and John, wonderful story. The book of Acts, a wonderful book to look at. And in my annual report, I said, you know, my mind just keeps going back to the book of Acts for us. And to see the miraculous, to see how the early church believed and had faith in the things they prayed for. It's good for us today. So in closing, I'd ask you to stand to your feet this morning. I would ask you, where are you at today with God? Is there a sense that you need to draw closer to God? Is there a sense that, Lord, I see this story, and I know I'm not Peter, and I know I'm not John, but I am who I am in 2019, standing right here in the church. I know that you love me. I know you've called me, it's either I am your child or I'm not. And you might be thinking today, you know, I really need to be saved. I've talked about it. I've been to church. I've done all that. But I really need to give my heart to the Lord. Ask for forgiveness of sin. You're in a good place to do that. You might know you're saved, and it just seems like you're focused on the negative more than on Jesus Himself. You could watch too much Fox News, and you could become hardened almost. You could look at the world and say, well, these things are truth right here. And yes, they are. So what are we going to do? My suggestion is for you to get with Jesus and say, God, I see the persecution. I see these people in D.C., and some of them are acting totally like idiots. They're calling right wrong and wrong right. and we see it, we're aware of it, but God, give me boldness. God, give me courage to speak the name of Jesus in my community, state, nation, wherever you want me to do it. So, would you spend some time with the Lord today? You might need to ask for forgiveness. Might need to pray for boldness. You might just want to say, God in heaven, thank you for whatever's on your heart. Our Father in heaven, how we do thank you for this day. We thank you for the love of God that we've experienced. And God, when we stood here last Sunday morning to standing here again, we've been through so much. It seems like the world is so busy and we're busy. We've rejoiced with Bible school. But God, there have been some situations in individual lives that are here today that we know about because they've shared, and it's not all been roses. What shall we do? Where shall we go for help? And I believe it is to Jesus himself. So here we are, God. May we be in one mind and one accord. May we feel the love of God in our brothers and sisters. And whether we stay in the pew or pray around an altar, may we be open, genuine, and honest with our Father in heaven. And we believe that you're going to give us the help that we need this day, for our time, for our situations, and for the glory of God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.